Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the He Gone Podcast, man. It's been a month, but we are back, episode 12. You know to follow us on Twitter, at Barbershare Scott, at Octoberzone Tay, at Junior underscore Salido. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Log into our website, man, bcnet.com. Got everything on there, your one-stop shop for all things Barbershare Network, man. We've also got merchandise coming soon. So look out for that. Check out my interview series, which is called I'm Not Gonna Hold You. The off season will be dropping tomorrow, which is a Friday, because you listen to this on a Thursday. And my first guest is a HBO producer of Winning Time, author, a lot of books, Jeff Perlman. We talked about, you know, his whole process of making Winning Time and things of that nature. Check it out. It's a good episode. This part one of my six-part series is dropping all summer, man. But we're back. It's been a month, guys. How's it going, you know, outside of our trash ass baseball team?
Man, I've been decent. I actually get to watch a real baseball team in the Atlanta Braves, you know, on a pretty consistent basis, so that's been some relief from this bullshit. But you know, I can't complain. Like I said, the Sox have been up and down. They'll be 6-4 in our last 10, but I'm not gonna buy into the hype. At the end of the day, the same problems we had last year, we got now.
So, even worse.
We're gonna get smoked. We're gonna get smoked against any quality team. So I'm not wasting my time with this shit.
Facts. Similar to Dante living in Miami, I become a Sandy Alcantara fucking fanboy. So every fifth day, I'm tuned in watching the Marlins just to see him go 7-8 and complete game. But as far as the Sox, man, I hate to say it, but we called it on the second pod. I said it.
Y'all called it. I was naive.
Me and Dante called it. We said this team might just be fucking mid. And shit, they might be a level below mid, man. They don't do anything well, man. And like I said, like Dante said, I'm not buying the hype right now. They're gonna have to show me.
Yeah, and I live in a city with the Death Star, aka the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I definitely do get to watch good baseball on the fucking regular. I get to watch Mookie Betts. I need to make my yearly trek up to that abomination that's called Dodger Stadium. The only reason I call it abomination because it's a pain to get in and out. Like, once you get in, it's beautiful. It's like baseball nirvana when you get in.
Yeah, I'm about to say, G, the best time I had at Dodger Stadium is also the time I got kicked out.
When y'all niggas got kicked out of Dodger Stadium. First of all, do you know how unruly you got to be to get kicked out of Dodger Stadium? Like, no, them niggas let a lot of shit go.
But you got to think, we had the sprinter there. So we smoking in the sprinter. We passing bottles around. And so we was smacked when we got there. So, yeah. But no.
Y'all was probably talking shit when y'all was coming through the gates and shit. Like, it was probably wild.
No, dude, we actually got to the seats. Was kicking in the seats. But my homie, who, of course, a Puerto Rican Cub fan, so you know how they get. He's standing up. He's yelling at people. He like, fuck you, me, doing all that shit.
Off a Javi Baez single.
Best shortstop in the league. Fuck you talking about. So, you know how that went. Yeah. But nah, Dodger Stadium, bro, you're right. You got to get up to Chavez every
once year. You get in, it's baseball nirvana. It's a nice place to be. Now, I don't know if I told a story about me almost dying at Dodger Stadium last year in like 100 degree weather. And the only thing that saved me was fucking frozen margaritas in the center field bar. It was so goddamn hot that these niggas was out of water. Literally. So on top of me trying to get some water, I was also trying to find a Mookie Betts jersey, which the MLB does a shit job of having jerseys. Actually, the White Sox are the only team that are really good at having jerseys available in park.
Yeah.
Like, in park, can't find a fucking gray Chicago road jersey.
Them shits don't exist.
Yeah.
They don't exist. Literally. Only the players have those.
Right. You might have been a sleeveless joint before that.
Right. You got to be Rick Honda, Lurie Garcia to have one of them bitches.
Yeah, that's all that shit is, man. But you know, I went to Petco Park last year. Couldn't find a Fernando Tatis jersey to save my fucking life. Couldn't find a Mookie jersey at the Dodgers. So when I'm trying to find the jersey, I'm dying. Like literally, when I tell you, I literally was almost on the verge of passing out. I shit you not. And so I get up to the top of the line. They ain't got no water. So I bought two frozen margaritas, nigga. I drank them shits like my life was on the line. Them shits saved the fuck out of me. So
and then you bought a Max Muncy jersey.
No, then I went home and sucked on my floor for 3 hours because I was so goddamn drunk. That's what that happened. But that's when I was still getting that government money. Like, nigga, I was going to the West Conference Finals and shit. Like this before I started covering the Clippers, nigga. I went to the West Conference Finals, nigga. I was like, 400 for a ticket. I don't give a fuck. Like, we get this shit. But yeah, man. So we had to talk about the team as of today, and it is 4:21 Pacific time on July 6th. And the White Sox are 39-41, 5.5 out of first place from the Minnesota Twins. And if you care about the wild card thing, they are 4.5 out of the third wild card spot because Toronto won today. There's a lot of teams in that. It's really like 8 teams competing for that. So you're in dicey territory when you're fighting for a wild card, something this team wasn't supposed to be doing. So I ask the grand question that we debate in our group chat, honestly, every day. Like, there's a lot of blame to go around, from the ownership to the lame duck GM to the vice president, Kenny, one hot album every 10-year average Williams. I like to call him. He's got one foot out the door because he's retiring when his contract is up. You got the worst manager in baseball, and you got a underperforming core. So the question I ask y'all, who is more to blame for this terrible first start from the White Sox?
Everybody. I think everybody has been equally terrible. As PC as they may sound, it's really not trying to be safe. It's just the fact that everybody's been that shitty. From the players to the manager to Rick Hahn. And like Rick is, and if we got to blame anybody, I think I'll give more of it to Rick off the strength that we've been letting this man slide for a very long time. Like, it's now when you see the lack of success, those fuck ups in the past look a lot bigger. Like the Tatis thing that we always be like, well, you know, we didn't know what it was going to be. Well, no, now we know what it was. He fucked up. Like, you look at Luis Gonzalez going to the Giants, and now he's a starting outfielder. He was a Triple A Charlotte for fucking forever, you know, and we released him, never gave him an opportunity. You look at Carlos Rodon, like you said, don't even do the qualifying offer to get something back, some type of compensation for the man, even if you don't want to, you know, invest that money into him. So, like, no, as we carry on, like I said, everybody's been trash, but I got to give it, if I had to give it to somebody, it'd be Rick.
Yeah, I piggyback off your sentiment, man. It's like I said, it's an organizational failure from top to bottom, from the front office to the clubhouse managers to the players. Like, I think this year I'm really fucking disappointed with the players.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. His shit just went out.
What a fucking day.
What a day. We've already been having technical problems today. So we're going to wait for Mikey to come back in. So I'll just say who I'm blaming. I think it's easy to, you know, I think, like you said, everybody has equal blame here. But if I had to blame one person or whatever, it's got to be the fucking players, man. Like we can sit up here and talk about Rick Hahn. We can talk about Tony. We can talk about Jerry. But baseball is the only sport where I feel like manager is not as impactful as the other league's coaches. If these motherfuckers was playing up to their potential, hitting the ball out the fucking park, we wouldn't be sitting there having these damn conversations. I'm taking the majority of this blame to the damn players. If you look over the last 30 days, the fucking Pittsburgh Pirates have more motherfucking home runs than we do. The Pittsburgh goddamn Pirates. So that's a problem. Today when they won, the most uninspiring 9-8 win I've ever seen in my damn life. Why? They were hitting home runs. Eloy had a homer. Luis had a homer. Vaughn had a homer. What's called? Ball go far, team go far. So I'm going to fucking blame the players. This core has not been it. No. T.A. got caught cheating, and this nigga did the opposite of what most athletes do. Most niggas get caught with a side bitch, and they start hooping. This nigga ain't, hooping. And he ain't. Luis, my only issue about my Cuban son, Luis, he got to have smarter at-bats consistently. That's the only problem I have with Luis. Like, literally on everything else, that nigga is great. Andrew Vaughn is having a great year. He has the same thing with Luis. They're going to get better with age. Eloy, we still don't. Eloy is the biggest what if. Him and Moncada, I swear to God. Like, nigga, I look up and Moncada gets like, he got hurt again today. He got hurt and he was starting to play well.
It's sad, bro.
He's starting to play well. It's like when one nigga gets off IL, another goes back on. So if I had to blame anybody, it's the fucking players. This core is not playing the way we expect them to. They don't take walks. They don't get extra base hits. They don't hit the ball out the park. They don't play defense. They're the ones I blame the most.
Yeah, no, but I could agree with that. But like I said, I think I picked it because of the years of failure, like the years after year after year of miscues and, you know, signing the wrong guys. We talk about, you know, knowing Joe Kelly has nerve damage and can't go back-to-back days, but you invest money in him, you know, to Josh Harrelson, Leori bringing him back and the money he spent. But I definitely agree. Like you said, players got to play, so.
Yeah, players got to play, and that's just the main thing. This is like – and it's like, you know how you know when it's a bad team? When you really – when it's not one thing, it's the other. You know, sometimes the fucking offense shows up, and today the pitching didn't show up. Or what's been more consistent theme, the pitcher shows up, but the fucking offense don't. That's what's been the issue. Like, you can't just – they can't get into a rhythm. And that's the biggest thing with all these pump fakes. They go out there and sweep the Giants. Oh, we might have a chance. And they go out here and they lay an egg against the Twins. And one thing I don't think people are talking about enough, these niggas stink at home. They stink at home. That was one of their best attributes last year, was they won games. At home is what I meant to say.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, bro. And you're right. Like, when you don't have that home field advantage, then you're going on the road and, you know, you're mediocre. Like, not, these are the results. And, like, you're talking about a team that came into the year with World Series aspirations. Like,
yeah.
Like, it just wasn't a team that was we thought was going to, you know, struggle to win the division. Now we're in here in third place, headed in the All-Star break. Like,
yeah, yeah. And that kind of – we're still waiting for Mikey to come back. I don't know where the fuck this nigga went. We're waiting for him to find back in the group chat.
Like, his phone might have died, G.
It might have died. The nigga had a long day at work, so we're gonna you know what? This mirrors the White Sox season.
Yeah,
this mirrors the
White Sox. Somebody always goes down.
So we're gonna do, me and Dante, what we always do: carry this goddamn company.
The show goes on.
The show goes on. But let's talk about, you know, season. We've only got 11 more days before All-Star break comes up. How many games will this team be out of first place when we wake up on July 18th, and that will be the day of the home run derby?
July 18th, day of the home run derby, the Chicago White Sox will be 7.5 games out of first place. I do not see this team, you know, doing anything positive. I'm looking at the remaining schedule, like, and you got division games coming up.
Yeah.
Like, knowing this team, we split with Detroit, get smoked by Cleveland.
Detroit been playing some good ball.
Man, and they had
some good ball.
You split with them, Cleveland. We got an ESPN game on Tuesday, game one of the doubleheader. Ain't no telling. Dylan Cease, you know. You never know what Dylan's going to show up when we're playing an actual team that matters. A team that we need to play. So, and then
I'm going to do you one better. This team will be out 9.5 games. I think that fucking road trip is going to bury these niggas. Like, I think they'll fake stay afloat against Detroit. You know, either split. It's a four-game series?
Yeah, it's a four-game.
So, either split or they might win three out of four. And the niggas like, well, all we got to do is go on the road, take care of business. They're going to get bodied by the Guardians and the Twins on the road. That's just going to happen. If you look at that road trip at the beginning of the season, it's what got us on this tailspin. When we started with like 6-2,
yeah,
and then we went on the road, and we lost to Cleveland and motherfucking Minnesota, and we just haven't been able to get right since. So that's why things going to happen. And honestly, I hate that I got to say this. I think this team needs to miss the playoffs. They need to miss the playoffs. I feel like us making the playoffs, unless you make the playoffs and win around, then that's cool. You can go to playoffs and win around. If you go to playoffs with the hell of a season you've had this year and you win around, that's cool. But if you go in the playoffs just to get smacked, that sends a wrong message. for the front office, and then you got a front office go up here and say the same. I'm going to say the classic Rickon. Well, you know, we were hurt, we were injured. You know they can't wait to break that excuse out the fucking in the fucking chamber or whatever. But really, the problem is roster construction with this. That's the issue. So I think this team will be 9.5 out when All-Star break comes.
Yeah, bro, it's getting ugly right now. It's like, where does the relief come from? That's what you keep asking. Like, where
we have Mikey calling right now. I'm gonna put him on speaker. You are on speaker on the podcast.
What happened?
I said you are on speaker on the podcast.
My shit just straight died.
That's what we said.
just like the White Sox season.
That's exactly what we said.
It don't get any more symbolic than that shit. My shit just straight. Rick Hunt and Kenny Williams sent the folks at me.
Well, we can hold this down for you. You could just get off your last take to the people on air.
Can I jump off through the link still or
not? No, you can still come on if you got another way to come on.
Yeah, my shit's on 78%, man. There must be a new iPhone coming out or some shit. I'm about to jump on right now.
All right, yeah. You only get this kind of content on Barbershop Network. We giving y'all the full spiel here. But I think, you know, it'll be a bad look for this team to make playoffs. Because we know if they make the playoffs, our playoffs start October 2nd, they're going to be home before the 5th.
This is the one and done playoff team.
So, hopefully the little audio situation was fixed because we noticed it might have been your AirPods.
It might have been the AirPods.
Well,
I'm taking them shits off.
Yeah, take the AirPods off. You know what I noticed as a nigga who don't have AirPods? Everybody who I talk to that has AirPods is always of something wrong with them. All the time. I used to talk to this girl who had AirPods, and every couple of seconds, you didn't say that. Take out the goddamn AirPods. You fuck that shit.
No, it is. She probably had mad fucking wax in them shits from her ear.
I no longer talk to this woman anymore, so I don't know. My nigga Mike is saying shit. Oh, I can't hear you. G, let me mute you back. It's some fucking AirPods. So that's if y'all heard any echo at the first couple minutes of this podcast, we was over here like that dog meme trying to figure out what the fuck is wrong with this shit. Yeah. And then when your phone died, and I was like, yo, I don't hear echo no more. I was like, that's what it was. It was the AirPods. But anyway, before you got cut out like the White Sox offense, who is the number one person you place blame on or thing you place blame on for this season?
Yeah, like I was saying, man, I know, you know, everybody from top to bottom deserves equal blame. But I feel like this year the players deserve a little bit more. Like at the end of the day, they got a taste of the playoffs against the A's the year before. Then they came through this year with heavy expectations. They went into the Astros series. They were talking all type of ass shit, talking World Series, all this shit. Yeah, we like that. Liam Hendricks with the we're the hunted now, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Astros came down and got you up out of it.
Astros said, okay, bet.
Easy.
Silly as hell.
Easy. If it wasn't for that Leury Garcia fucking home run, it might have been a sweep. You know, it would have been a sweep. So I just feel like the players have come out flat. Like, I don't see anybody playing with any emotion. The team looks lifeless. They don't do shit well. Like, I don't know if y'all saw after the second game against the Twins, Jose Abreu was in the dugout like if they lost the World Series, like he was really there, like what the fuck? And you start thinking, like, man, he stuck with the team and the org through a lot of losing years. And
that's why I feel bad for him. Cause it's like the rest of you young motherfuckers, y'all gonna be here. Luis is gonna be here. Vaughn, you know, hopefully Eloy. Eloy can stay on the goddamn field. Jose play with Deion Vicieto? Oh, that prior to him?
I think so, yeah.
His rookie year was Paul Konerko's last season. That's how damn long. Like, if Paul Konerko could walk down my block right now, and I wouldn't know that's Paul Konerko. That's how much he don't look like himself and how long he's been out of game. That's how long Jose been here, and these motherfuckers fucking it up for him. And we were posting the old yellow man. He only nigga playing too. He like one of three people playing well.
Yeah. He's starting to hit the shit out the ball, you know. But then, you know, when you got all those young bucks on the team and you dependent on, because let's be real, in QB years, he at least like 44.
At least 44. You
know, depending on him to lead you in home runs. He only's got like what, like 11, 12, you know, like.
He's got 10. He's the only one with double digit home runs on this roster. It is July 6th.
You know, man, like I feel bad for him, but I put it on the players, man. Like at the end of the day, they got accountability. The base running mistakes, that's not on the coaching staff. I mean, it could be on the coaching staff for not maybe for like reprimanding them. And, you know, you might have to just start benching people. You know, Ricky did it. Ricky pulled TA plenty of times in the middle of a game, you know, like that's the only way you're going to learn. But like at the end of the day, Sebi Zavala, bad base running. Tim Anderson, bad base running. Adam Engel, Yohan Moncada, bad base running.
Oh,
like,
that fucking triple play on fucking Monday. Oh, my God.
That shit comes down onto the players. So I put the blame on that, man, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that control this. The same way, Scott, you is probably like day five of the TLR hire. You know, the first 4 days, 5 days was anger. And then day five, you said it, and you were right. This team is going to win it. And now they're just losing because of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I said right before you got kicked out at the recording. I blame the players, because it's like, if you look at coaching across sports, and this is not giving TLR a pass, he has been bad. I think he's been the worst manager in baseball this year. But when it comes to all four sports, especially the three majors, the manager is the least important out of three major sports by far. If you like it, coaching in the NFL and the NBA means eons more than it means in baseball. If the core players were playing the way they're supposed to, we're not sitting up here talking about Tony La Russa the way we're talking about him. The fact of the matter is, Tim Anderson ain't playing well. I said this earlier. Nigga got caught making faces on the gram and started playing ass. He's the only athlete to get in the cheating scandal and play worse. Yeah. Never seen that before in the history of sports. So you got that. We've got Eloy can't stay on the fucking field. I don't really have that many complaints about Luis and Vaughn. They're just young. They'll get smarter in their batting approaches. But considering, especially Vaughn, this nigga ain't spent no time in the minor leagues. I am super impressed. This nigga's batting with like 330 this season. Like those dudes are good. I think we need to reevaluate.
He's living
who the core is.
Trade him, you know, he's living up to that you can't trade him status.
Yeah. And to me, there's only two untradeable assets on this team, and maybe three if he continues this. And that to me is Luis Robert and Andrew Vaughn, and three if he holds it.
I'm waiting for it. I'm looking at you.
Maybe Dylan Cease. I can't believe
you're not buying that bullshit.
I said maybe.
You're not buying that.
We
bullshit.
Gotta see. Stop. Maybe we gotta see. And I want to say Kopech too, but I don't blame Kopech's last couple starts, because the White Sox, the only team that refused to understand you injured, so you've been playing like shit for 2.5 weeks. Oh, maybe we should put this nigga on the IL. So I think that's just been that. Now I want to bring up a point that I put in the group chat. Our homie Sean was supposed to join us today. He just texted me that he took some medicine, he fell asleep, so he's not able to join us. But I'm gonna give you the take that he texted me with yesterday. That actually caught me caught me off guard when I read it. But then the more I thought about it last night, I'm sitting up here watching Doctor Strange. I'm like, this nigga make some points. And then I text y'all with it, and I was expecting y'all to cuss me out. And then Mikey was like, you might be right. So basically, the point is, I'm not saying trade Tim Anderson. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But Sean was saying, if you look at it, he doesn't feel that he cares about getting better. Like, he's a good hitter, no doubt. TA will always hit for average. TA will always go on base. He is terrible defensively. It feels like the power is slowly going away. And we don't really see the maturity in the at-bats. You know, he understand he likes swinging the first pitch. That's his thing. But that has not worked out for him since he come off IL. I'm not saying that you trade the guy. I'm just saying the nigga is 30 now. So when his contract is up, he's got 2 more years before he's an unrestricted free agent. That's probably the worst contract in history of baseball. But he's not an unrestricted free agent until he's going to be almost turning 33 years old. I see no way whether, you know, and I'm not wishing death on nobody, whether Reinsdorf is here or not, I don't see no way they re-sign Tim Anderson, especially with as well as Colson Montgomery as they're playing in the minors. All I'm saying is if somebody, I would at least listen to offers because this core isn't working and you have to find a way to pivot. Like, because next year, no matter what happens this year, the White Sox are probably going to be the favorite in the Central again next year. We don't, Carlos Correa already talking about, oh, I want to be in a winning situation. We don't know if this nigga going to be in next year. And I think that you people should at least, they should at least listen to offers. That's all I'm saying. And I know people are going to listen to this and kill me on Twitter, but it is what it is.
Oh no, shit, no. As far as trading, bro,
listen to offers. I didn't say trade.
I wouldn't necessarily do that right now, but I think off the strength that we know they're not going to pay him, they might as well. Like, yeah. But then you turn into the Oakland A's. Like, now we're gonna just flip people when it's time to actually pay him. So I think with TA,
But you know, paying 33-year-old shortstop.
Yeah, and I mean he's been doing some goofy shit. So I mean, but like if you can get a clear upgrade, then yeah, you can make something happen. Flip, bro. Like, but that's my thing. Like. Like Mikey said, in the chat, bro, they not. Well, we know they're not gonna pay Dansby. We know they're not gonna play Carlos. So, like, what if you do? If you do trade him, what's the replacement? Are we really gonna sit here and wait for Montgomery?
If they would go, but
get your Colson Montgomery jersey out.
I'll never. If they were, this is my thing. The White Sox as a franchise, and it sucks as a fan. The White Sox as a franchise are not serious about winning.
No, they're not.
If they were serious about winning, the bread would have been spent. The moves would have been made in the offseason. They would have went out there and put a fucking contender out. You know what I'm saying? They would have addressed every hole and said, fuck it, we all in. So a smart, like, realistically, yeah, logistically, you look at it, he's 30 years old. The power's not there. You know where he is. He's going to hit for 300, but his glove is shaky. His base running, you know, he can't continue to get picked off. It's like, all right, what do you do? You know what Tim Anderson solves on the White Sox?
What?
He's the second base answer. If you're if you have a competent front office and general manager that can go to him and have that tough conversation, Tim Anderson can play here while he's 32, 33, whatever. He solves the second base issue.
Yeah.
You need to be proactive and you need to stop playing fan favorite, yada, yada. You need to build a winner. So you know what? Like Dante said, if Carlos Correa is available, you fucking inquire. If Dansby Swanson is available, you fucking inquire. And you go to Tim and you say, if you really about winning and you really about wanting to be in this franchise, we'll take care of you. We'll come at you with an extension, but we're moving you off to second base. You know what I'm saying? Like, this team has to get better in certain areas. And just from... I love T.A. He's
my favorite baseball player right now. So I just want to keep telling. All I said was listen. I know people going to be in my mentions mad.
You know what? but let's be real. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jerry's not going to pay him.
The main issue. When you were bringing up the Dansby slot, a smart front office, a smart ownership group, a smart manager, everything the White Sox don't have, come to T.A. We appreciate you. We love how you are for the team. You're our leader. You're our vocal leader because Jose can't talk. You are vocal leader, and we need you to move to second base so we can fix this up defensively, and we can go get a Carlos Correa. We're going to get a Dansby Swanson. That's what smart front officers do. They go out there and spend the money. Zachary LaVine is the first nigga in the history of any sports organization owned by Jerry Reinsdorf to make $100 million plus. And Jerry Reinsdorf, for those of y'all who don't know math, has owned the fucking Bulls for 41 years. He's owned the White Sox for 37 years. And this is the first motherfucker over $100 million. Let's be real. If it wasn't salary cap and you had to pay that money, Zach wouldn't have got that damn money. Let's just keep it all the way above. That's the issue. And honestly, the White Sox are a small market team in a big market. Only thing big market about the White Sox is their location.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
And that's the thing. And they hang up that crutch just because they do not draw the attendance as the Mets, as the Yankees, as the Dodgers, as the Braves, as the Cubs. So because they don't draw that attendance, they operate at a smaller level because they know they don't have that revenue from a ticket gate to rely on every year. I mean, but like you were saying, like, or, you know, like, you know, kind of like how we were piggybacking, Steve Cohen went and got the Mets last year. They were thirsty to try to make the playoffs. They didn't. But you know what he did? He went and traded for Javi Baez while having Francisco Lindor. You know what I'm saying? Javi Baez as a second baseman, that works when you have an all-star shortstop. You got to find a way. I really think that this team, I started thinking about it early May, mid-May, when I seen the shit wasn't working, people are injured. They might have to shake up the position player group, like, and maybe like in like three spots. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like realistically, it might have to be like three or four spots. You got to get an everyday right fielder. You got to figure out what he is for the rest of this year. Is he going to play left field, or is he just going to be better suited to be a DH? You know what you have in center field. Vaughn is the replacement for Abreu. Do you bring Abreu back? Is Abreu your DH and you put Vaughn there and you put Eloy out there? You know,
this is my solution right here. And you're 100% right. And this is where I wanted to add. I forgot to add this on the rundown. You gotta reshuffle the core. You got the good thing about the one positive thing is the White Sox have talent. So it's not like you got to start from scratch. You got talent. You in a hot ass division. You're in a 3 wild card team playoff system now. So I said the White Sox are going to be 9.5 games out of first place by when we wake up on July 18th, the day of the fucking home run derby. I said the White Sox be 9.5 out. Dante has to say 7.5. So when the fucking trade deadline comes, they need to think about long term.
Hey, I'm gonna say 7.5 too. 7.5.
I'm gonna say 9.5. This is why I said 9.5. This is why I told Dante they're either going to split with Detroit because Detroit's been playing some good ball. They just dusted Cleveland, or they're gonna do some shit where they went 3 out of 4 and you got niggas like, oh, if they just go on the road and take care of business, we right in this thing. The series against Cleveland and the series against Minnesota on the road is going to bury this team. It's going to bury them. And, yeah, a smart organization says, let's not have two first basemen in the fucking outfield. You know, I love Pito, one of my favorite White Sox players ever. I don't re-sign that nigga after this year. Like, I make Eloy the full-time DH, and you go get you a left fielder. And you put Andrew Vaughn where he's supposed to be at fucking first base.
You get two left-handed bats in both corner spots.
Need left-hand bats.
You get a left fielder that's, you know, that's a left fielder that's a lefty or a switch hitter, and a right field power bat. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's gonna be a right-handed hitter, then that motherfucker got to hit 35 bombs. You know what I'm saying? If you're 9.5, based on what you're saying, your prediction, say it is 9.5, coming out of the break, do you talk to Jose Abreu and consider to a contender?
I would look out for him. I would look out for him. But also,
that's 100% waving the white flag. But
you know what scares me though about that wild card, because they're going to say if we just get in. We're healthy.
To get spanked by the Yankees?
You know they just want the playoff revenue. Like, they just want to get in. But that's the thing that scares me. Like, for me to believe they fully be sellers, they need to be out of range in both. And I think they'll be out of range of division. I think they're gonna be in it with air quotes in it in the wild card race all up and down. But the wild card race is different because you're battling like 5 or 6 teams.
Right.
So that's a lot of shit. That's got to go right. You like what you said. Well, these are 3-game series now. So yeah. They wouldn't be playing the Yankees. They'd be playing Houston again because the Yankees going to get a first-round bye.
Oof. Oh, yeah, I forgot they get a bye.
They'll get a first-round bye. And then you're just going to get smacked up by Houston, and you're not even going to get a home game because the wild card series and all 3 of them games from being Houston. Shit ain't even going to go to a game 3.
Going over there with a duffel bag. They fucking Luis Robert got to wear the same Adidas tracksuit because that's Luka Yeezys, and that's it, Papa. Straight to book a flight to Miami after for off season because that's it.
That's pretty much how I feel about it. Dante, what do you feel about like reshuffling the core and things that you would do at the deadline?
I mean, I think at the deadline, I'm not buying shit with this team right now. So like, I think with players like Jose, as much as I know last pod I was offending them, but even with Moncada, like I know his stock is extremely low right now, so that's the only reason you may not want to, you know, even attempt to trade him because you're not gonna get much back. But I think as long as you have, like you said, you have Andrew Vaughn. This man, this is, in my opinion, this is the core. The core is Andrew Vaughn, Luis Robert. For right now, I'm still on the Michael Kopech train.
T.A.?
Yeah.
Is T.A. a part of the core?
It's insane for me to sit here and
I was muted, but I said I know T.A. your man.
I mean yeah, that's my guy.
He's my man too. But we gotta have honest conversations.
We gotta have honest, but as much as we call him the heartbeat, you can't say he's not a part of that core. But I think he and Moncada are probably two parts. Well, no, not Moncada. Moncada, I don't think I got Moncada's on my outside right now because like he hasn't just done what he needed to do. So like I said, but those four on my core. So I outside of that, you can reshuffle any and everything on this roster. Like Eloy can go. Like
this is the thing about Eloy. If Eloy is healthy, bro,
see, I'm tired of that shit. This is like 3 years straight. This is 3 years straight.
But we saw today the nigga like, got a back when he healthy, bro.
You can say that for like four different dudes, and that's what's up.
Moncada killing me, man. You killing me, Smalls. I love me some Yoan Moncada. I was a Yoan Moncada fan when he was on the White Red Sox, nigga.
I mean, he's heating up as of late, but it's looking grim.
And then he fucked his foot up again today. He probably going to be on the IL again.
Yeah, I just watched him foul his foot, foul the ball off his foot. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, Ozzy had texted him. I was watching the post game. Ozzy texted him, and he said, good, X-ray negative. Yeah, that what they did.
X-ray negative for the White Sox organization just means it's a 10-day and not a 30-day.
No, I'm about to say Ronnie Acuña's X-ray was negative, and he was in the clubhouse with a scooter. So, like, it's sketchy.
So, if you're biased, let's flip it the other way. Say where they at right now. Say 5.5 or anything less than 5. Say 4 games to 5 in that range. You're obviously buying because you think you could probably turn it up.
If it's under 6 games, these niggas are buying.
So who are you buying? Like,
yeah, like, well,
I have no fucking idea, but I'm just telling you what Rick Hahn's mindset is going
to
be.
I think it has to be a left-handed bat. So then, like,
it has to be. You know what the White Sox problem is? One of the many problems. Same problem the Yankees had last year. Too many right-handed bats. There's two reasons why the Yankees offense is great this year. One, because unlike the White Sox, they hit home runs. Two, there is variety in the lineup. There's way too many right-handed bats in this fucking lineup. That's one of the many issues, man.
There's too many. It's redundancy just on the 40-man roster, like in the main position players. You got how many first basemen? How many DHs? You know what I'm saying? How many, you know, utility guys? But, like, nobody that's really good at one position but, say, Luis Robert, besides Luis Robert, I know every day they're going to pencil him in center field. I mean, you would have to start looking at left-handed bats. And then, like, what do we have to give up? And are you giving up a Sosa? You know, like, are you giving up anybody from the big league club? Like, I would look at somebody like, you know, you would have to probably look at like an Ian Happ. You would have to look at a David Peralta in Arizona. You would have, who he's not like a modern.
Ian Happ is ass, man.
You would have to look at an Andrew Benintendi. You know what I'm saying? But like,
I like Benintendi. Ian Happ is ass.
I like Benintendi in Boston. I'm not trying to. But he's not moving the needle for me right now.
You don't like,
I get what you're saying though. Like, I get exactly what you're saying. Like, those are the players.
It's better than Ian Happ.
We gotta be realistic, right? No, Ian Happ is some shit. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, Ian Happ is ass.
Keep him far away from my ball club.
But based off of what we got to give up, and
exactly,
that's true.
So, like, that's where you're at. Like, you know, like Andrew Benintendi, he's having a better year this year for the KC. But like that's what you're looking at because they're not gonna go and make a splash.
Those, no, of course not.
Those days of Frankie Montas and Luis Castillo and maybe a Tyler.
Bye bye.
That shit's gone. You know. So
yeah, man.
I don't know, man. It's a fucked up situation. I never would have thought, man, if you would have told me that, you know, going into 4th of July weekend, coming out of it, you know, a week, 2 weeks before the All-Star break, that we would be in this position. Like, we realistically could have been like 7.5 games out had they lost today.
Yeah. And that's why it was a big win. But also at the same time, like, you niggas ain't fooling me. But it's like, even in my most pessimistic view coming into the season, I didn't see this. Like, everybody was talking about 2019 Bears. Like, come on. This is 30 times more disappointing than the 2019 Bears. Like, even the 2019 Bears you were just hoping that Mitch could actually throw the receivers. Like, it wasn't like any proof that we saw. It was just you were hoping. There was no point. Like, I knew this. Oh, we're going to have a great year. Like, this has just been anything but.
But it's like when we were saying, when we were talking, like, name one thing that this team does well. You can't. You know? You really can't. So then, if they don't do anything well consistently, that's the big thing. Consistency. Is this team capable of running off a 10-game win streak? No, because they don't play consistent enough baseball. So for me, like, that's what it's going to take to try to win the division. You know? You need to run off one of those big winning streaks, and I don't see it happening.
I don't see it either, man. Last topic, because I have another show to do today, too. There's really not too much shit to talk about this fucking team. What do White Sox fans have to look forward to over these next, 80 fucking games? Because a lot of goddamn baseball left. Now, I haven't watched a full White Sox game. I'm talking about first pitch to last pitch in over a month.
Damn.
What is there, if anything, for White Sox fans to watch until we got to hope that Justin Fields can survive throwing a Mariano's baggers?
I would say my main thing is Luis Robert, just continuing to see him grow and, like, looking for the progress, because that's the true core right there. That's the guy. Like, at this point, out of everybody we have, I have the most faith in Luis. So, like, I want to see him continue to grow and become a better player. So, and we can see his, like you said, smarter at-bats, higher baseball IQ at the play, even though it's nothing wrong with being aggressive when you actually own, but because, like, you know, his, like you said, his splits over 162 are insane. But the problem is, like you said, he's, like we said in the chat, he's either on or he's fucking terrible. Like, sometimes, like, he has those spurts where he's just swinging at everything. So, like, I think that's a part of the growing process for him. But that's a guy that I think that's really the main thing I look forward to going forward. Like I said, with Kopech, he's showing you flashes this year, but he is also, you know, been hurt again. So I want to see what they do with Michael. I'm sure they might ramp it down a bit, just because I think the further we get outside of the division is when they really ramp it down. So I think those are my two right there.
Yeah, I think the number one thing White Sox fans can look at is just, you know, like we were saying, the core. Who's going to be here for sure next year? What are the spots that they're not going to replace? Luis Robert, Andrew Vaughn, Eloy. Like, I would really like to see Eloy, now that he's back, if he could stay healthy and not miss any games due to, like, to any injury. Like, any days of regular days off, wear and tear, that's fine. But, like, if he can go ahead and string together, like, a consistent 2.5 months, 3 months of baseball, like, then that's big for him, for us as fans to see what he can do. And then, for next year, like, knowing, like, what are we building the core around? Kopech, you know, he's already eclipsed his innings limit. There's something's wrong with that knee. And I really wonder, like, I've seen a lot out of him. The stuff is there. I really wonder if, because of the injuries and the wear and tear, if he's going to end up being somebody that just does become, like, a weapon, bullpen, you know, just to keep him long term. I don't know if they'll go there yet, but I think maybe long term, his trajectory, his career is kind of going that way. Just the young guys, and I guess just to see if they got some fight. We got, you know, a big series against the Tigers, against the Guardians and the Twins going into the All-Star game. And that's going to tell us right there what the second half of the season is, you know, whether they put up fight now with over the, you know, these next 13 days or if it's time to start doing pods, you know, the next pod we do, who are we looking at as a potential manager next year? Who are we to see? Is Rick Hahn going to get fired? You know, like, you know, where is the blank down? And I really don't want to do that, man. I hope they can put it together, but, you know, history says, and just the product on the field says, they don't got it in them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's two things to watch. One, like you said, I want to see if this team has any fight. Where's the heart? Like, we keep hearing from this locker room, you know, from Lurie, from Liam, from TA, you know, hey, nobody's panicking. You know, we all trust each other. We have a lot of game left. Okay, well, time is clicking, motherfucker. Like, are y'all going to step up to the plate or not? And the other thing I want to see is, can this team stay healthy? If this team can stay healthy and have a consistent lineup, we actually have our opening day scheduled lineup, it maybe that looks different. You know, I want to see, can this team look good? You know, because now we got Yoan out. Hopefully we can get Yoan back quickly. Yaz is going to be back after All-Star break. If we can have our full nine healthy and to see what these niggas can do healthy, maybe. There's really not too much that I can really pick for us to realistically look at, because like I tweeted today, you can't fool a real nigga. I know what this team is. They, to me, this team is just not it. And I said this earlier too. I feel like making the playoffs will actually be sending a bad message, because if the playoffs starts on October 2nd, these niggas gonna be home by the 5th.
But it depends on the fashion that they make it.
Yes.
If they make it by putting up some fight, and it's not like, you know, if they could somehow jump into one of the, you know, the top two wild cards or whatever, or like they ran off a streak. All you got to do is get hot going into the dance.
I need Atlanta Braves like run, like even from this year's Braves.
Yeah. I need that, but you know, and that's the thing. They don't play consistent enough baseball for me to get there. But me if
yeah.
that and they and they're going in say super hot and healthy, then okay, then you know, then I'm all with it. Sign me up for watching baseball in October. But yeah, if they limp in and they get in on a bullshit technicality because of a tiebreaker, or they lost the game but somebody else lost, so they went, you know. Yeah, like then yeah, it does send a bad message.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's definitely about the way that they get in. They get in on a run, man. Like you said, sign me up. And then we can make one of those crazy wild card runs. All I'm saying is these niggas gotta play a month. Not a 4 or 5 game win streak. I need a month of consistently good baseball. You got 30 games a month. If you can give me like a 22-8 type of record, I'm like, okay, I'm back on board. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what we can do. But I just don't see it. I think the season's going to die over the next 2 weeks, but we'll see how this goes, man. But that's all we got for y'all today on He Gone. You know to follow us on Twitter, at Barber Chair Scott, at October Zone Tay, at Junior _ Solito. Follow the Barber's Chair Net at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter. Check out our website, man, thebcnet.com. We got everything on there. We got a store coming soon, so we got merchandise coming for y'all. We got a big 79th Hallis announcement coming within the next 2 weeks, something huge. So look out for that. Got a lot of stuff coming, man. Check out my series, I'm Not Gonna Hold You, to Off-Season. Episode 1 drops on Friday. Me, Jeff Perlman, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty about winning time. I asked a lot of great questions, so check that out. And we'll holler at y'all next time. We holler at y'all, man. Hopefully the White Sox won't be dead, but we out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.